The Fan on Demand. Go to fan590.com and sign up to automatically receive the latest reports, features, and Fan 590 show highlights. From the skills of killer Canadian Milos Raonic to the spacesuit outfits of Serena Williams, this is Total Tennis Coverage. This is Aces on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590. Here are your hosts, Roger Lajoie and Tom Tebbett of Tennis Canada.
And welcome once again to Aces. I am Roger Lajoie. Tom Tebbett is along with me, and thanks for joining us on Canada's only dedicated tennis show on the airwaves. Mr. Tebbett, been a while since you've been in the studio. How are you?
I'm good. I was at the Big W, as Bud Collins dubbed it. I always loved that, the Big W, and good tournament. I was happy to see Djokovic win. He's had such a good year. I thought he deserved to top it off with that victory. And then I was in Ecuador, and Canada came back from two matches down to beat Ecuador and set up a tie in Israel in September, and if they win that, they can get in the world group. So that's the goal, and so far they're doing very well.
Great summer for Canadian tennis from that perspective, that's for sure. It's been disappointing for Milos Raonic. We'll talk about him a little later in the program. Philip Bester is going to join us on the show a little bit later. We've got that great Rogers Cup prize, Roger at fan590.com. And by the way, you want to email Tom with a question or a comment or anything, in our last segment, we're reserving for you and your questions. So you can email now, Roger at fan590.com. We'll check the emails a little bit later, but we want to get right into the program tonight. And this segment of Aces is brought to you by Tennis Canada. To get up-to-the-minute tennis news and scores, visit lovemeansnothing.ca. Tennis is spoken here, and you can get Tom's great work on that site as well. But you had an opportunity to talk to Kim Clijsters, and we're going to lead off the show with that. You talk about a legendary performer in this great sport.
Legendary performer. She's won 4 Grand Slam titles, and there ain't nobody nicer. I mean, I don't know anybody who doesn't like Kim Clijsters. She's a terrific person, just so down to earth, so unpretentious, just terrific person.
Terrific person, and in conversation with her own Tom Tebbett, Kim Clijsters.
Kim Clijsters, welcome to Aces.
Thank you.
I'm just wondering, you had a couple of foot problems in April with your ankle and another one more recently playing on a grass court in Rosmalen in the Netherlands. Just quickly, what have been the problems? And I think actually the first injury, a lot of people thought it happened a way that it did not happen.
Yeah, well, I think my first injury happened actually at my cousin's wedding. I was dancing on my bare feet, and somebody stepped on the outside of my foot, and I twisted my ankle. So the back of my, or the inside of my right foot has been, I've been rehabbing that, and then when I started playing again after the French Open, I played in Rosmalen. And there, in my second round, in the beginning of the match, I went for a drop shot and slid and kind of hurt the same ankle, but in a different spot. So that's what I'm rehabbing at the moment. And I had some bone bruising there, so it just takes some time to get that bone bruising under control, actually. So that, you know, it's going to take a while before that happens. But I've been hitting for the last 5 days, and everything is going according to plan, so I'm excited.
Well, that's great. You had to miss Wimbledon this year. I just wondered how much did you follow it and were you able to stay in touch with some of the players during the tournament?
I actually followed quite a lot of it. Obviously, I was in the States, so the time change wasn't always that easy during the night. I think at around in the morning, I started watching. So I did most of my workouts early in the morning. So when I was in the gym, I would watch you know, a couple of matches and then I would be busy with the family, just being a mom and a wife, and all my daily chores that you know are part of my life. And so I'm not saying that I watched everything, but you know the matches where I was like, okay, this is, you know, one of the matches I would like to see. I was able to take some time for that.
And you stayed in touch with some of the players, maybe some of the Belgian players during the tournament?
Yeah, of course. I mean, a couple of the Belgian players and some other girls that I was in touch with. So it was nice to see it from an outside point of view. You know, when I wasn't playing before, I didn't really follow it either. So now, you know, I was rehabbing, and it was just nice to support the girls in a different way.
You're in New Jersey now, and that's obviously partly because of your husband, Brian Lynch. He played basketball with Alvin Williams, who played for the Toronto Raptors at Villanova. Do you play a little bit of basketball?
I actually played basketball when I was younger, when I was little, until I started thinking that it was a little bit too dangerous for my fingers, and then I decided to just stick to tennis. So I enjoy playing basketball. You know, I remember when my husband was still playing, and I would come out here in the summers, and he would have his practices, and, you know, I would go and help him and rebound and do all those things. So it was I enjoy it very much, and I think it's a great sport to watch. And we were able last year to go to a couple of the Villanova games. So I've been very into the NCAA in these last few years, so it's been a lot of fun.
What would happen if you went to the foul line and shot some free throws? Say you shot 10, how many would you make?
Oof, I have no idea.
No idea?
Well, I'll let you know when I get... Maybe I'll go try it. I don't know.
Okay. I think you prefer playing on hard courts to the other surfaces. I'm just wondering, after playing on grass or on clay, what do you feel most comfortable about when you get back on hard courts?
I think for me, in general, it's the movement. You know, I enjoy the fact that, you know, when you go for a wide shot, you can just push off and you're right back. On grass and especially on clay, you have to just be a little bit more careful, and that's something that, where I feel like when I'm on a hard court, that's something I don't have to worry about. You know, I enjoy the fact where, you know, like I said, on an open stand, you can just push off and you're right back, you know, one, two steps, and you're in the middle of the court, where on any other surface, it just takes a little bit more, I think it's a little bit more delicate to move, and it just takes longer to get that all under your belt and to have that control of your movement. And that's why whenever I step, when I come from any other surface and I go on a hard court, it just feels very natural, and I just don't even have to think about it. It just becomes very natural for me.
I'm not sure what it's called, in the straddle or the splits or whatever you do. Are you a little bit more hesitant about doing that these days?
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's been, I remember in my previous career when I, you know, was getting towards the end of my career, and I was very, I remember doing it a couple of times, just my hips, and you know, I played with it with a little tear in my hip for a few months as well. So I think that's something that was probably caused by doing those splits, and especially on the hard court. So I will definitely try to not use it as much. So it's up to me to try and just become a little bit faster so that I can get to the ball a little sooner, and so I don't have to use that shot.
I recall 2 years ago here in Toronto, when you were on your second term, I guess, your comeback, a couple of late-night matches against Azarenka and Yankovic, and I remember sitting there thinking, boy, are you ever hitting your inside-out forehand well and playing terrifically well. But at that point, could you have imagined that you'd go on and win the U.S. Open that year?
No, not at all. I mean, I felt like the match against Yankovic was definitely one of the matches where I felt like I played some really, really good tennis. I felt comfortable out there. But it just wasn't always that consistent, and gradually from there onwards, in the beginning of the U.S. Open, every match I kind of just felt more and more at ease and in control of my own kind of emotions and ground strokes, and I was able to block a lot of the outside stuff that was going on just off, and it was everything just, you know, you talk about things falling into place. Well, those 2 weeks, you know, I just felt like everything really fell into place for me, and but I never expected that to happen when I was in Toronto. I never doubted that I wouldn't be able to do it, but, you know, I was just looking at kind of one time, you know, one kind of match at a time.
And you won three of the first six Grand Slam tournaments you played. How surprising was that?
I mean, it just, you know, I know that, like, with my team, and we've been working really hard physically and tennis-wise to be better than before, you know, so I believe that I can do it. I believe that when I go to a Grand Slam, I believe that I'm capable of winning. It's just a matter of, again, trying to, you know, make the puzzle match and make the pieces match, and I think it's important that you have that confidence, but, you know, you still have to work extremely hard, and that's, you know, that's what I do. And whenever I go to a tournament, I believe that if I play my best tennis, I'm capable of, you know, beating, you know, any top player out there. But it's a matter of, you know, it's, tennis is also very unpredictable. And So you never know what can happen, and so you just have to work extremely hard every day to just try and keep those kind of off days to a minimum, and then you never know.
I guess Jada's almost 3.5 now. Mm-hmm. Does she understand very much about tennis, you know, points and all that kind of stuff? Or?
I mean, you know, she hasn't really been around the, you know, she comes to the courts, but she probably stays out in the creche or she in the kindergarten or anywhere. So she doesn't really sit out during my matches. And, I mean, to know the scores, I think she's still, you know, a little bit too young to understand, but she does, I think, understand the fact that when you hit a ball into the net, you know, you lose the point. but she enjoys watching it on TV. She likes sports, but I think she's still a little bit too young to I like to have a kind of a free spirit where she can, you know, choose what she likes. And I think so far tennis really isn't in her mind yet, so.
And what does she enjoy the most about being at a tournament with you?
She loves, I mean, because obviously there, you know, we do a lot of things. When we're home, you know, we like to stay home and, you know, we still do a lot of things with her, but they're more kind of, home, you know, I draw with her at home, we go for walks with the dog or things like that. But when we're at a tournament, we go visit the local zoo or we go to the playground or we go, you know, so things like that. So I think the culture side of it, you know, she probably doesn't know that it's the culture, but she gets to experience the different type of living in kind of each place where we go to, and it's nice to see her grow up in that kind of way where she picks up little things as well already, where she sees, look, mommy, you know, at home, you know, we do it like this, but, you know, or little things like even when we were in Paris or because there were a lot of scooters driving around or, you know, things like that. Like, she picks up on them, and it's funny how she looks at things. And the other day she asked me when we were in the plane flying to America, she goes, Mommy, when are you going to Australia? I want to see the koala bears again. So it's just funny that she talks about, you know, she's 3 years old, and she talks about New York and about Australia, and so...
She's getting a little spoiled as far as the U.S. Open goes. We all remember the picture 2 years ago with the trophy, and, of course, you won again last year. Do you think she's expecting it again this year?
I don't know. I mean, she doesn't really... I mean, it's... You know, I think also because we're not very much like that or into the materialistic side of things. So I don't think she'll ask, you know, did you win or lose after a match? And then if I say I lost, she's like, oh, it's okay, Mommy, don't worry. You know, she'll say, you know, something like that. So that makes it always a little bit easier to deal with a bad loss. But never about the trophies or anything. She's excited if I come home after the Australian Open, they gave me a stuffed animal. So she was more excited than anything to get that the little stuffed animal than the trophy itself.
You and Justine Henin obviously were started out together. I think you shared hotel rooms when you were like kids in Japan, and
yeah,
been
yeah.
a long time. She retired in January. Are you in touch with her at all? And do you know how she's doing?
Yeah, a little bit. Yep. It was probably the last that I heard of her was on my birthday, and on her birthday we're like a week apart, and so we were just sending a couple of messages back and forth, and we were going to try to catch up a little later this year. So. In the off season, so she's doing good. And she's enjoying herself, and she's not the type of girl that doesn't like to do something. You know, she'll be busy, and she's doing some TV work, and not into tennis, though, I don't think so. But it's she's doing good.
That's great. Obviously, you're playing the Rogers Cup in a few weeks. What would be your best memories of having played here?
I mean, when I won, obviously, a few years ago now, I think that is.
2005?
Yeah, 2005. I can't believe it's 6 years already. But, you know, so that's definitely any place that you can go back to where you've done well and where you like going to. I mean, I remember being, you know, in the city and just, yeah, love being, you know, being in the city. And it's a fun place to be at. And the people were always very... you know, you can just feel that they're so excited to have the tournament on, and that's something that obviously gets passed on to the players, So yeah, we're excited to come over. My husband's not going to be there, so he's a little bit disappointed because he starts coaching in Belgium basketball. So, but my parents-in-law are coming, and obviously my daughter is going to be there. So it's going to be, yeah, I look forward to it.
And what events would you be playing leading into the Rogers Cup?
San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's it. And then I have Cincinnati afterwards.
Right. Well, Kim, we really look forward to seeing you here in Toronto, and thank you very much for talking to us today.
No problem. Thank you.
And thanks again to Kim Clijsters. Tom, what a charming lady. You talked about her, just one of the real nice people in sports.
Yeah, no, I think I told you a story before, but once I was in a press conference at the French Open and ran into her the next morning because I happened to get there early and she was going the opposite direction. Often you interview a player the next day, you could be Joe Blow. And she says, hi, and just perfectly natural as you do with somebody you talked to the day before, but all the players aren't like her.
Yeah, everyone says hi to you, though. Everybody knows Tom Tebbit. I'm Roger Lajoie. It's Aces coming up. We've got Philip Bester. Yes, Philip Bester, one of Canada's fine young tennis stars. And we've got a great Rogers Cup prize to give away. You got a question for Tom tonight? Roger@fan590.com. We'll read your emails and get your feedback a little later in the program. You're listening to Aces on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590.
Make your friends weep with envy. Win wicked prizes inside the fan club. Join today at fan590.com. Grass, clay, or hard court. Wherever the game is played, we'll be there. This is your tennis show, Aces, with Roger Lajoie and Tom Tebbit of Tennis Canada. Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590.
You're listening to Aces on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590. I'm Roger Lajoie. Tom Tebbit of Tennis Canada is with us. Check out his work at lovemeansnothing.ca. And this segment of Aces is brought to you by Corona Extra. Pick up your six packs of new Corona Extra limited edition bottles at the LCBO in the beer store. Visit findyourbeach.ca to vote for your favorite bottle. Coming up later in the program, we are going to take your emails, and Tom, it will answer your questions. The email box is loading up, and speaking of the email box, we will also give away a fabulous prize at the Rogers Cup. Tickets, Wilson tennis balls. We'll tell you all about it next segment. Don't email in yet because we have a trivia question that Tom spent all day thinking about. I know. I saw him. He was in a room all by himself working on the question. I'm sure it's going to be a real good question, Tom. I don't want to put any pressure on you. Is it a good question tonight?
Yeah, a little different.
Oh, I knew it. Delighted to be joined by one of Canada's Davis Cup tennis performers now, Philip Bester, joining us on the line from Vancouver. Philip, good evening. Welcome to Aces.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Excellent, Philip. Nice to have you on the program. Philip, before we start with you, I do want to ask you about how you continue to improve your game and talk to us about first the Davis Cup and what transpired there to get your playing as well as you did.
Well, it's always a privilege and an honor to play for your country, and especially since tennis is mostly an individual sport. When you're able to be on a so-called team and represent your country, I think it's extra special. So going down to Ecuador, there was some extra energy, and I was really excited. And just to be around my teammates and Marty and everybody, it was really exciting. So it all kind of came together. We went down with one goal in mind, and that was to win and get one step closer to the world group, and we found a way to do that.
Philip, Tom Tebbit here. Obviously, I was there with you, and I saw the good stuff, and actually saw the good stuff. You played two matches. I told you, I think, down there, I don't quite know how you lost the first match, but Campuzano played a good match against you, very opportunistic, but you certainly had your chances, and then you were fantastic in the fifth match, and there's nothing like playing a fifth and deciding match in Davis Cup. How did you really feel during that match?
Well, obviously, it's like all these hockey players that dream of playing a Game 7 in the Stanley Cup Finals, or any Game 7 in the playoffs. And you know, same thing as for Davis Cup. When you're selected to be the guy that's going to be, you know, make the decision for the team, if it's 2-2, it's very humbling because you know the captain he decides that he believes and has faith in you to win that fifth match. So when I was given that opportunity, I was really excited about it. And to be honest, I was very calm going into that fifth match, and it was uh, I was I had a lot of self-belief that I could win and pull through, regardless of the fact that on Friday I lost, because, as you said, I played a really good match. So I took all the positives from that match and was just really hoping that I was able to get a second opportunity to play the final match, and I did, so that was great.
And Dara was a good player. It got very close in the second set. You won in three sets, but the second set was very close. But how would you, I mean, obviously you were playing on red clay down there too, which is not your best surface and not the best surface for almost all our players. How would you say that you managed to pull through it? And what was the atmosphere really like? How would you describe it for our listeners?
Oh, well, you know what? I have to actually correct you, because clay is actually my best surface now after the success I had at the French in 06. And along the way, actually, most of my results have come on clay. And from a young age, when I went to Europe and basically got beaten up on clay by all the Europeans year after year, I found a way, I figured out how to play on the surface. So I personally was actually very comfortable on the clay down there. And but it was, I knew that it was going to be very difficult conditions. I mean, we're playing with guys that, you know, ate clay for breakfast, lunch, and dinner their whole lives. And obviously with the home crowd support that they were getting, it was going to be very difficult. But I think that as a team, we did a great job of sticking to the process. And even though we faced some adversity being down 2-0 and potentially, you know, losing any one of the next three matches, I felt that we stuck to the process. We knew how we had to play to beat these guys, and that was to play our game and be aggressive. And we did that, and it was, again, it was really, really special to come through being down 2-0.
Yeah, we have to give credit to Daniel Nestor. Obviously, when you're down 2-0 and you got Daniel playing the doubles with Vasek Pospisil, you kind of know you're going to win that match. Then it was up to, obviously, you and Vasek. Vasek came through in the fourth match. You came through in the fifth match. And I remember one of the things, I don't know, just a kind of a kooky thing that happened during the match, but there were some of the Ecuadorians who were heckling and making funny noises. But you have a very nice game, a single-handed backhand. I don't know if you remember during the match, there was one guy who fairly frequently would call out Roger Federer. did you hear that guy?
Oh, I heard him loud and clear, and it actually really I think that he didn't realize that he was complimenting me, because basically he was referring to me as he was comparing me to, you know, one of, if not the greatest tennis player that's ever played. So you know, it actually fueled me to play even better. And going back to Daniel playing the doubles for us, obviously, you know, that crucial point in the doubles. And for me, I knew that I was just going to kick back, take some popcorn, and watch him do his thing. So it was really, it was great that he could come down, and great that he played as well as he did with Vash. And yeah, so it was really, really good.
I saw you last week, actually, and I know that down there you had a patch on the back of your hand. You've somehow injured your hand. What's the status of that, and when will you be back playing again?
You know, to be honest, I did get I had some tests done on my hand, and unfortunately, I've been diagnosed with a stress fracture in my hand. So, with that in mind, I'm kind of week to week right now in regards to where I'll be starting my next tournament. And I'm not sure yet what the prognosis is. These things vary in how long they heal. But at this moment, I'm, you know, even though I'm injured and I can't play at least now for the next, you know, 2 weeks or so, I'm still trying to do my best to stay positive and keep up with my fitness. And hopefully my young metabolism can come through for me and heal me up quickly.
Well, that's tough, Philip. And listen, best of luck rehabbing that injury. And I guess that the only thing you can do when it's a hand injury is work on, well, you're going to work on cardiovascular. Like, what kind of plan have you got set there? Because obviously, for a tennis player, that's a tough injury.
Yeah, it's very difficult. I pretty much, you know, I can't hit any balls, and it's difficult for me to do anything with my hands at this point. So I'm focusing on my cardio, on my movement, and I'm also doing a lot of stuff in the gym with regards to strength, to strengthen my legs and my core. So there's a lot of things that I can do to keep myself busy during this time. And obviously, I'm I'm extremely anxious to get back out on the court, especially with the momentum from Davis Cup. So, like I said, it's these kind of things happen. As an athlete, you get injured, and I'm doing my best to accept it and just do what I can right now to maximize the time that I have.
Well, Philip, congratulations on a great effort at the Davis Cup. We appreciate it. Hope your injury heals quickly, and we see you back on the court much sooner rather than later. All the best to you, Philip.
I appreciate it. Thank you guys for having me.
Philip Bester, man, that's tough. You mentioned a hand injury, but stress fracture, Tom, that could be a while.
Well, it could be. I actually saw his hand last week, and it was a sort of a cyst on the back of his hand, and I sort of thought, well, they'll just laser it or something, boom, he'll be fine. But I think it could be a bit of a problem, but he's been talking about 2 weeks or 3 weeks. Obviously, I think he would have a wild card into the Rogers Cup in Montreal starting the 8th of August. It would be really nice if it's better by then.
Yeah, let's hope so, because the more Canadians in that tournament, the better. Tom Tebbutt, Roger Lajoie with you here on Aces. And you mentioned off-air, here's a guy who, you know, the expectation level of him was so high at the start of the career, and the comparison is going to be the next big thing. He has progressed, though. Back in 2010, I was doing the stuff. He was in the 500s in the world ranking. Now he's at 235. It's in the right direction. 22, turning 23, though.
Well, I was very impressed in Davis Cup. I really didn't think, I don't know, down there on that surface, I'm very happy that I was corrected, because it's nice to be wrong sometimes, that he prefers to play on clay, because I know when he was coming up, they were saying he's going to win Wimbledon, and you know, he has a good serve, he can volley, he can hit all the shots, and sort of his aggressive game would be more suited to the grass or maybe hard courts or something, but I was corrected there. But, you know, I think he still has a lot of potential, because he has all the shots. I just think he's had to sort of mentally sort of accept some things. There was a lot of hype, and I think he really got caught up in some of that, and now he's had a dose of reality and appreciates, you know, what he's got. So I think he definitely has a chance to get in the top 100, maybe a little bit higher, because he has all the shots, and I think he can play well in doubles as well because he volleys well at the net, he has a good serve, he can hit all the shots, as I've said. So hopefully there's still, you know, a fair margin of improvement for him, and he can sort of maybe eventually get to where we thought he'd get, maybe not quite so high, because his agent at the time was saying he's going to win Wimbledon and all that sort of stuff. It's a heck of a weight to put on a young guy.
For sure. Nice to hear from Philip Bester, and hopefully that hand recuperates soon. Lots of questions for Mr. Tebbutt at roger@fan59.com. So if you want a question in for Tom, you better be quick. We've got a pile of them. And Tom's got the trivia question. roger@fan59.com. When we give it to you, answer in. We'll select among the top entries. You'll win tickets to the Rogers Cup. Wilson Tennis Balls, great prize courtesy of Tennis Canada. All that is coming up on Aces with Roger Lajoie and Tom Tebbutt on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590.
Like free sports tickets, trips, and memorabilia so you can trick your friends, colleagues, and mistresses into thinking that you're some sort of high roller? Hey, join the club.
Welcome to the club.
The Fan Club. Join online at fan590.com. Every game like Hawkeye Tennis Technology. This is Aces with Roger Lajoie and Tom Tebbutt of Tennis Canada. Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590.
You're listening to Aces on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590. I'm Roger Lajoie. Tom Tebbutt is with me. This segment of Aces is brought to you by National Bank Financial Group. Need a smarter mortgage? All-in-one banking from National Bank gives you highly competitive mortgage rates, plus a line of credit. For details, visit nbc.ca/backspace, all in one. And don't forget, the Rogers Cup is on the way, folks. The Rogers Cup, one of the premier tennis events in North America. And I say that without a moment's bias or hesitation, because it is a great event. Tom, the Rogers Cup is called the Rogers Cup. Now, the Canadian Open has been around forever. One of the great events, and this year, both in Montreal and Toronto, the same week, so a little different flavor to it, too.
Yes, they are, and well, the women's is the Premier Five, so it has almost, actually, it's a fantastic event this year. I don't know if you know this, Roger. Guess how many of the top 25 are entered?
23.
25.
Is that the trivia question?
And, of course, the men's tournament, the Masters 1000s, like the men's tournament in Montreal this year, they have the top 44 players. I think it's actually the 42 this year, because there's two players, Juan Carlos Ferrero and Tommy Haas, who have protected rankings. So it changes a little bit.
That's tremendous.
So but really, I mean, obviously there'll be a few people who pull out. There'll be some injury that happens every year, but you can't start out any better than they're starting out this year.
lovemeansnothing.ca. You get all of Tom's great work there. You get more information on the Rogers Cup. And we're delighted to tell you, and so many of you have emailed tonight at roger@fan59.com, saying how much you enjoy the program, which we certainly appreciate hearing from you. But we will be with you all three Thursdays in and around the Rogers Cup this year, Thursday the 4th, the 11th, and the 18th. So three straight Thursday nights during the Rogers Cup. Coming up on the way, Tom and I will be with you, and delighted to be with you. And folks, we really appreciate your kind comments on email and lots of questions you've got for Tom. Now, we're going to get to these emails, and then Tom, in about 8 minutes' time, is going to throw out the trivia question, the email box, then email roger@fan59.com. And among all the correct answers, we'll announce a winner next week, and we'll give you a fantastic Rogers Cup prize, which is tickets.
Rogers Cup prize is two tickets to the August the 8th, Monday night, the first Monday night. And because Venus Williams and Serena Williams are outside the seeded players this year, they'll have to play six matches if they want to win the tournament.
Might be so playing Monday night.
So I would think there's a chance, for example, Sharapova is seeded. She could start at the very earliest on Tuesday, possibly Wednesday. So the Williams sisters have to play an extra match because they're not seeded. So I would suspect there's a chance that one of them could play on that Monday night. So that we hope they both make it here. If they do, I think there's a fair chance of that, and probably a very prominent Canadian player as well. So that'd be a good night to be there.
Hey, good night for sure. Get some Wilson tennis balls as well. Great prize, and we'll do that in a couple of minutes. Quickly, though, Milos Raonic tomorrow, I understand, making an announcement or at least an update on what his status is.
Right now. There's a conference call tomorrow morning with Milos at 11 o'clock, and we'll find out then exactly maybe some details of his operation. It was on July the 5th, Tuesday, July the 5th in Colorado. We don't know exactly what the story is. He's not going to play the Rogers Cup. There's probably very little chance he'd play the U.S. Open. And if he didn't play the U.S. Open, he probably can't play Davis Cup for Canada. He could play the fall schedule, or he could shut it down for the whole year. So we'll see exactly what the surgery was and what the prognosis is and what the plans might be for the fall.
Fingers crossed. Let's hope Milos gets back on that court sooner rather than later, but health first for sure. Okay, we've asked for your questions for Tom, and here we go. Vinny is enjoying the program. Vinny, we thank you for that. His question for Tom is, do you think Andy Roddick needs a coaching change? I feel that Larry Stefanski has made Roddick a more complete player, but in a way, a lesser player. Seems like he's lost his aggressiveness. What do you think of that?
Well, he's getting to 29 pretty soon, and I think Larry Stefanski is an excellent coach. He's a great motivator. He's actually one of the best coaches for the media. He'll say anything. I remember getting quotes from him about Marcelo Rios, and I said, lay him on me. This is fantastic. He just speaks his mind. I sort of think, I don't know if Stefanski or anybody can do much with Roddick now. I think he's on the downside, and, he has to do something. He knows all those things about standing further in the court, hitting the forehand bigger, maybe going more for the serve. So I think the prognosis isn't that good for Roddick.
Yeah, coaching is just a part of it, unfortunately. He might have missed his time. Vinny, thanks for the email. Charlotte says, I noticed the changes at Wimbledon. Ryegrass, heavier balls, has made it more difficult to hit winners. But I'm curious why said changes haven't affected the dominance of the serve on the surface. I would have thought the changes would result in more service breaks, but I haven't noticed a tangible increase in service breaks at Wimbledon, and it seems like there's fewer service breaks there than at any other slam. Interesting. What do you think?
Well, I mean, I still think when you serve on grass, what happens is the ball skids. It stays very low. It sort of almost doesn't quite accelerate, but it certainly goes. There's no resistance from the grass as there is a resistance with a clay court or with a little bit of texture on the acrylic hard courts. So maybe she's right. I think it hasn't changed that much, and the serve is always going to be rewarded more on a grass court, and therefore you're not going to get as many service breaks. So the style has changed. Players are playing from the back. They're hardly ever serving and volleying. They're hardly going to the net. But, it's still hard to return those big serves on the grass.
Charlotte, thank you. Sean emails in, listening in Montreal tonight on fan590.com. And Sean, thank you very much for that. Question for Tom. Of the four young guns on the tour right now, which do you think will have the first breakthrough, and which do you think has the most upside? He's talking about Milos Raonic, we just talked about, Bernard Tomic, Ryan Harrison, and Grigor Dimitrov. Sean, thank you for that question. Good one.
Well, I still think Milos might have the biggest upside. I mean, I just think he's a terrific player, fantastic serve, good athlete, very dedicated player. So we just hope the hip is going to be okay, and I think he's right in there. Of the other three, Dimitrov is kind of a mini Roger Federer, beautiful player and all that stuff. I don't know if it's going to click. I think it will. He had a disappointing result again this week. Ryan Harrison, I'm a little more dubious about. And Tomic is only 18, got to the quarterfinals of Wimbledon. Kind of a goofy kind of player, sort of a counterattacker, doesn't hit too hard, hits a lot of junk back, but very clever with the ball. So I would think maybe after, although Dimitrov, really, you keep thinking it's going to happen. But after Milos, I might say Tomic, just because he's only 18. Got an unorthodox game and seems to be getting better.
Well, the age and on the upside is definitely in his favor for sure. Doug emails in, regular emailer. Doug, thank you very much. Very kind comments to Tom and the show, and we appreciate it. And he'd like to know, why is it that the Rogers and tennis sports customers are unable to subscribe to the Tennis Channel? And Doug's brought this up before, Tom, and we've talked about it. And a second part to his question, he really enjoys the WOW, Waterloo Open Women's Tennis Challenger Tournament each year in July and would like to see more coverage on that. So, Doug, first of all, thanks again for your kind comments. Tennis Channel and the tournament in Waterloo and the Tennis Channel in particular, Tom, we're not the only city, I understand, that doesn't get that.
Well, no, I don't think we should spend too much time on this, Roger, because it's a fairly complicated issue, but it's a matter of getting it on the cable company's system. Mm-hmm. And somehow the cable company has to be convinced that they're going to get bang for the buck. And even in the States, when the Tennis Channel started, I remember for many years, and I'm not sure, even sure now, there were many cities, like huge cities, parts of New York City didn't get it. So you have to convince the cable carrier that they will carry it. And some people are pretty skeptical about tennis. And so the WOW Challenger in Waterloo, I was there last year for a day, was fantastic. Mm-hmm. We'd like to publicize it more, but there's often, you know, a lot of things going on. But I thought it was a terrific tournament, lovely little location, and lots of fun to go to.
Doug, thank you for your emails. Always nice to hear from you. Rick emails in. Him and a buddy were playing tennis yesterday, and he says, had a discussion about some of the greatest competitors in men's tennis. Wants to know who we think is the best competitor in the men's game all time, not necessarily the best player. And he mentioned some names, Connors, Borg, Chang, Hewitt, Nadal. There's some pretty fierce competitors out there. You've been around the game. That's a great question. Never mind the best player, but who was just the meanest, the most toughest competitor?
Well, I wouldn't want to diminish at all Rafael Nadal. I think he's terrific now, but I would go with Connors. He wasn't that big, maybe 5'10", didn't weigh that much. He was taught tennis by his mother, and I had some experiences with him. And Jimmy actually had to sort of have a hate on for his opponent. You know, I don't think that happens at all with Djokovic and Federer and Nadal and Murray these days. But Jimmy would have a hate on for his opponent, and that was how he got motivated. And maybe he felt like he wasn't that big, and he was sort of him against the world. But, I mean, I always said, you pay your money for Jimmy Connors, that guy's never going to leave a match early. He's going to hang in there till the end. And you get full value for your money. You may get a little bit of vulgar stuff, too, that you may not have bargained
for. How about McEnroe? Was McEnroe just more about the show as opposed to being the just, you know what I mean?
No, he was a good competitor, too, but he was a genius. I've never seen a player as talented as him, the touch and all that sort of stuff. But, no, he has, I mean, he's still playing. And he's still playing now. He wants to win as badly as ever, I think.
Thank you for the email. Mac really enjoyed the Kim Clijsters interview. So, Mac, thank you. Tom did all the work on that one, as he does on all this entire program. Novak Djokovic, he adds, where does he rank as far as the great returners of serve go, Tom, in your mind? He would compare his return of serve to the likes of Agassi, Connors. Where does he rank?
Maybe not quite with Agassi and Connors because they did it over more time, but he's an excellent returner of serve. And you just look at, it's not necessarily the return of serve, but you look at the way he handles Rafael Nadal's cross-court left-handed forehand with all that stuff on it. He just sticks his two-hander in there, his two-handed backhand, and treats it like it's nothing. So you can see the reactions he has and the talent that he has. He's a terrific returner and just obviously number one in the world now. Just a terrific all-around player.
Got a ton of emails. Don't have time for them all, but we'll get one more in quickly. Niraj in Hamilton says, do you think the other majors should adopt what Wimbledon does and have a dark middle Sunday? He likes that idea because you get the big second Monday with all 16 men and women in action. Thinks the fans get a bit of a breather as well. What about that?
Well, Raj, I'll tell you one thing. As the media, we love that because the French
Open. Oh, you get a day off in London. Yeah, sure.
Well, the French Open is now starts on a Sunday, so it's 15 days in a row, and that's pretty grueling. So that middle Sunday at Wimbledon, we all love. But I'll tell you something about all these other tournaments. That's one day without any revenue. So that's the answer.
It's not happening. It's tradition, but you know what? It is a nice break in the middle of it. But Sunday tennis, the ratings will be great. Thanks to all the emails. We'll keep them as well here, and we'll always have time for emails on the show. I know you love to communicate with Tom, and we thank you all for your support. Now, remember that email address, roger@fan59.com, because you need it. roger@fan59.com. Tom has got our question for the Rogers Cup tickets for the Monday night. Can Wilson tennis balls? Tom, we are anxiously awaiting the correct, or not the correct answer, the question.
Well, the question, Roger, is we know that Maria Sharapova stands tall in tennis.
That's not a question, that's a statement.
The question is, how tall does she stand? How tall is Maria Sharapova?
How tall is Maria Sharapova? Roger@fan590.com. Roger@fan590.com. My answer is, she's the perfect height. No, that probably doesn't count.
I'll give you a hint. I'll give you a hint. Her fiance, Sasha Vujacic, is 6'7".
Well, and he would be, well, okay, that's a little help. That's a little help. Email in at Roger at fan590.com. Folks, you win the Rogers Cup tickets for Monday night. And among all correct entries, we will draw one. And we'll announce it next week. So please make sure and get your entries in. Roger at fan590.com.
Two cans of U.S. Open tennis balls, Roger.
I'm sorry. Yeah, two Wilson cans US of tennis, Open balls. Tennis balls. How about that? This is one great prize. Roger at fan590.com. How tall is Maria Sharapova? You know the answer, and among the correct answers, we'll do it. We got about a minute. Looking forward to the three shows in and around the Rogers Cup. Man, with the players, it's going to be fantastic. It always is, Tom, but it should be a great tournament, both in Montreal and Toronto this year.
Well, with everybody that we care about entered, it sure should be. It's going to be fun to see. Nadal's the only iffy one a little bit, had a stress fracture in his foot. I think somehow he's going to make it to Montreal. Federer's coming in without any events. He played Davis Cup after Wimbledon. The same thing with Djokovic. Murray may play something, but I think they're all coming in fresh and eager. And it's really going to be fun to see them, how they perform. And obviously, we're looking at long-term, ahead to the U.S. Open. But they really want to play well here when they get here because it's so similar to the U.S. Open. And they want to get things off on a good foot. And it's one of the longer breaks in the tennis year coming in, say, with 4 weeks off. So by the time that 4 weeks is over, you're pretty eager to get back out there and hitting some balls.
And Aces will be on August 4th, 11th, and the 18th in and around the Rogers Cup. Tom, a pleasure.
Raj, always is.
Tom Tebbit, Roger Lajoie, thanks for listening, folks. Thanks for your emails. Aces back again August 4th, 11th, and 18th. The soccer show is coming up next. Roger at fan590.com. Email that answer in. We'll talk to you soon on Aces on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590.